This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
You're listening to The Morning Run with Lynn Rushen and Noel. 7:18 a.m. Tuesday, the 20th of October. And in about half an hour, we're going to be speaking with Jay Solomon of the National Union of Bank Employees about why he's calling for the blanket loan moratorium to be reinstated. But in the meantime, we're talking about a motion of no confidence. Because during the last parliamentary sitting in July, there was one motion of no confidence filed by Tun Dr. Mahathir Mohamad, which was left to languish on the bottom of the agenda. And in the upcoming sitting beginning the 2nd of November, there have reportedly been more than 10 motions of no confidence that have been filed.
Yes, and these are motions of no confidence against the Prime Minister. All five MPs under the Perjuang Party have filed these motions, and all 11 Amanah MPs have also been encouraged to make similar petitions to 2 weeks ahead of the sitting.
However, Dewan Rakyat Speaker Dato' Aziza Harun has come out to clarify that he does not have the authority to set the no confidence motions ahead of government bills. This can only be done with the go-ahead of the Minister in charge of Parliamentary Affairs. And if that's the case, can the government eternally avoid a no confidence vote by ensuring that its business takes up all the available time?
So for a better understanding of parliamentary proceedings and the scenarios that could crop up come November, we speak this morning to Wong Chin Huat, political scientist and an expert on parliamentary reforms. Chin Huat, thank you for joining us. Now, the Dewan Rakyat Speaker has explained that government business takes precedence in the parliamentary agenda based on the standing orders, and that private members' motions can only be discussed out of order with the government's acquiescence. How then do we avoid a situation where a no-confidence motion is simply buried, as seems to have been the case?
Well, to strictly follow the standing order, then by standing order 14, then you have the case that until the government consents to it, you cannot have a debate. However, if you look at a higher level, the government functions under the constitutional convention that it enjoys the confidence of the parliament. So the vote of no confidence should therefore be placed on top. It's first thing first. If I may, I'll cite a learned lawyer who say this, discussing the similar matters with how the government put away with the bill. He said what the speaker did was he put all the government business first, and after all the government business has been concluded, there wasn't any more time for the Huda bill to be debated. So it was fraught in that sense. Now, can the speaker do that in respect of a no confidence vote? The answer is no, because again, by constitutional practice, a motion of no confidence must be brought first on the list.
That seems to be the most practical situation. Do you agree with the Dewan Rakyat Speaker then of the interpretation of his role when it comes to determining when motions of public importance can be heard?
No. I think that, first of all, he should have the constitution in mind before the standing order. And there are ways to go by this, as proposed by former Education Minister Masli. He has filed a motion to suspend the government business. So that's provided under the standing order. And ultimately, the standing order gave the speaker the final say in interpreting it. So it's really a matter of choice what he chooses to look at.
Now, Chinat, even if the no confidence motion doesn't see the light of day, the tabling of the tabling and subsequent vote of Budget 2021 is said to be an indirect vote of confidence on the Prime Minister. What happens if the Prime Minister cannot get his budget passed?
He has lost the confidence, and he has to either resign or seek dissolutions of the House.
And is that a convention or is that in law?
It's a convention, but for him to defy that, that would be a coup.
And do we have anything in terms of convention, what is the enforcement? Is there any enforcement when it comes to convention?
It's really how people play by the rule. So if you do not play by the rule, then nothing would happen, because if we fall back to the constitution, what they say is that the government must, the king must appoint someone as prime minister who enjoy the confidence of majority members of the House. So if you have lost the confidence, then it would be unconstitutional for you to stay on. the constitution would not provide as detailed as how a confidence is lost. All those are understood through conventions.
So Chin Huan, what scenarios do you see playing out in order for Tan Sri Muhyiddin to secure his position between now and November 6th when Budget 2021 is to be tabled?
There will be two options. One is for him to seek a settlement with his allies, namely UMNO. And if he's, as we learn from the media, this is actually what happened now. And if that's go down the way, we would have cabinet reshuffle. You would have more people appointed as minister and deputy minister, and some members from from the cabinet may be changed. That's the first option. The second option is that the government can seek a confidence and supply deal with the opposition. So what happened is that if you have enough opposition member to say, I will support you when a vote of no confidence is put forward or when the budget is voted on, then the government survive. This is actually how it works, and it works very well in many countries.
We just want to take a view on this. There has been a proposal for the government to suspend parliament due to COVID-19. Does this proposal hold any merit in your view?
No, it does not. People who think that because we are facing a pandemic, therefore we cannot have the parliament in function, which will require emergency if you go more than 6 months, they are living in 14th century, because that was the last time that the Westminster Parliament was shut down because of a break. Today you have Zoom, so why can't you have it online? You can have hybrid meeting or you have completely virtual meeting sessions.
Right. Well, thank you very much for speaking with us this morning, Chin Huat. That was Wong Chin Huat, political scientist as well as an expert on parliamentary reforms, giving us some views on the no confidence motions that that the government is facing come the November 2nd sitting.
And really exemplifying that we've come a long way since the 14th century in terms of managing the situation, right? I think that's a great example there, because I think that was it the Black Plague that around the 14th century that shut down parliament. And basically, that was a situation where, you didn't have medication, you didn't have the SOPs we have today, and you didn't have things like Zoom. Parliament can continue in different ways, but it can be done. So, I mean, but beyond that, there were other things he brought up, right? And I think that point I was trying to press on there was the convention situation, because conventions are great, but who's going to enforce them should push come to shove?
Yeah, so I think this is about the respect of law, you know, respect of what's decent. And, you know, obviously it makes sense to push the no confidence motion up, because if you're not confident about the Prime Minister, what's the point of debating the rest of the other government businesses, right? So that to me is very logical and convention. But, you know, I think for Tan Sri Muhyiddin, certainly, you know, he's got his work cut out for him. Some possible scenarios for him to fortify his position is to even expand the cabinet even more. More ministers, more deputy ministers.
Don't we have
two.
Over 70
yes,
ministers
now over
in the
70,
cabinet already?
I think we went from 44 or something like that to 77 now. So I'm sure, well, you know, we have a big budget, right? We could, you know, pay for some more of these payrolls.
Yes, but that big budget is supposed to be used to support the economy and mitigate the effects of the COVID-19 pandemic.
Yes. Not to create more jobs at the government level.
So I think what's going to be interesting to watch is when we asked him about whether what could be Tan Sri Muhyiddin's strategy here. One is that one we just talked about was the cabinet, but two, can he bridge the partisan divide, go across the aisle and say, hey, we need to pass this budget for the sake of the country. Will you support this vote? Now, who is going to cross that part, those lines, right? Yes, we don't have a bipartisan party here, but we have two large coalitions at this point, right? Government and the people who aren't in government. And whether he can get support from across the different parties is going to be very interesting to watch, just from on the ground view of where who is willing to cross those lines.
Yeah, so I think, you know, he obviously has to appease the top leadership of UMNO and also, you know, navigate those difficult waters. But maybe one way is to work on an individual level, like bring people, not necessarily to his party, but to be aligned with him, to, you know, UMNO people who will be friendly towards him and can work well with him.
Or even just anyone from PKR or DAP, if anyone basically basically go on that line that we need this for the economy. Will you vote for this budget?
Speaking of voting, we have been running a poll on the BFM Twitter account, that's at BFM Radio, asking you, should the no confidence motions against the Prime Minister be the first item on Parliament's agenda? 105 votes in the half an hour that the poll's been open, 81% of whom said yes, it should be the first item on the agenda. 7% said no, 3.8% don't know, another 7% don't care. Do continue to let us know what you think. We're about to head into the 7:30 news bulletin now, and then up next we're speaking with Professor Richard Shaw, Professor of Politics at Massey University, New Zealand, on Jacinda Ardern's win. So that's happening after the news bulletin. Stay tuned, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.